Sue Rabantran. Can I make a confession? I've been stalking you for a long time. I think you're really hot. I laughed. Oh yeah? You haven't met me yet. I may not be as hot in real life. We made plans to meet the following day at the Pitcher and Piano Bar near the Islington Tube Station. It was one of those rare days in London when the weather was just perfect. Even though it was 7 p.m., it was light outside, and it was warm enough to wear the new purple dress I had bought earlier from H&M. The dress showed off my figure perfectly. The scooped neckline of the dress showed a hint of cleavage, and the cinched in waist of the dress gave me Shakira-like hips. I had my hair in box braids, which I left hanging down, and wore huge silver hoops in my ears, with silver strappy sandals to match. I had that bounce in my step that comes from looking good and knowing it. I walked into Pitch and Piano a little after 7 p.m. Stood in the doorway for a woman dressed in a black blazer and jeans, which is what Danielle had said she would wear. Suddenly, I saw her walking towards me from the room. Her straightened hair was layered with one eye partially covered by a side fringe. As she got closer, I noticed her wide-set eyes, cute button nose, and the tinted shimmer on her full lips. Her black jacket was hanging loosely on her slender, almost boyish frame. And her long legs were encased in black skinny jeans and ankle-high boots. "Hey, I'm Danielle," she said, somewhat shyly. I gave her a hug. "Hi, I'm Anna." "I decided to leave over there," Danielle said, while pointing to a secluded corner right at the back of the room. We sat down and started a somewhat awkward conversation whilst waiting for the mojitos we had ordered to arrive. "So what brings you to London?" "Well, I'm here for a writer's conference. It's really fun. This is one of the downsides of living in Ghana. There really isn't much support for writers and artists in general." "Oh, that's true. I really loved your book, All That Glimmers Is Not Gold, and I've been following your blog regularly. I hope I didn't scare you with all that stuff or talk." "No, you didn't. And I could see we had plenty of friends in common from college, so I knew you were all right." By our third mojito, the conversation was flowing more easily, and we had ordered a side of chicken wings and chips to soak up the alcohol. I started to giggle as Danielle described the characters in the background. I've always been a lightweight, and three drinks tend to be my maximum. The admin manager is the most irritating. Whenever I bring jollof in for lunch, she's like, "Oh, that smells lovely. Is that a curry?" I in turn describe the characters at the writers' conference. "Wallace Yinka is really grand and statesmanlike. I get all nervous when I stand next to him. Chimamanda is really smart and sassy. You wouldn't think it to look at her, but she can be so cheeky. She's so fine, though. All the male writers have a crush on her." Danielle smiled and said, "Well, I have a crush on you." Trying to sabotage me. Where's my mom? "Am I as hot in real life as he thought I would be?" I asked. "You're even hotter," Danielle responded. I smiled and snuggled closer to her. The mojito definitely hits the spot. It's been a good, but so full on, I definitely need to unwind tonight. Danielle turned and smiled at me whilst flicking her fringe out of her eye. I had noticed that seemed to be her tick. Every so often, she would flick her fringe out of her eye. Snuggling closer to Danielle seemed to have been the signal she was waiting for. I responded by sucking lower lip, and we kissed passionately until the waiter interrupted us with an "Ladies, would you like another round? Emma, can we take this party elsewhere?" "Sure," I said. "I'm staying at the Hilton round the corner." We held hands as we walked the short distance to the Hilton. We had both fallen silent now.
I could feel the tension between us, a good kind of tension. We walked into the overly bright lobby of the hotel, turned right towards the elevators, and pressed the button to go up. Once we were in the elevator, Danielle started kissing me passionately. I responded by starting to undo the buttons of the pinstripe shirt she wore under the black jacket. "Easy, Tiger," she responded as the elevator pinged on the sixth floor. We stepped out and practically ran to room 6003. Once inside, Danielle pushed me against the door and started to pull off my dress. I held my hands up to make her job easier, a small smile playing around my lips. She stood still for a moment once she had achieved her mission and looked at me long and hard. "You have an amazing body." I suddenly felt a bit shy and said, look at me being such a bad hostess. "You're in my room and I haven't even offered you anything to drink. Let me see what the room bar has to offer." I walked towards the bar and Danielle followed me. I could feel her eyes on my bottom. I was glad that I was wearing my newest Freya set. She sat on the edge of my bed as I brought out two mini bottles of white wine while saying, "Do you fancy some wine?" "Yes," she responded as she shrugged out of her black jacket, placing it on the armchair next to the bed. "Do you mind if I make myself comfortable?" "Come on, don't be shy now," she said. I took a swig from the bottle and walked over to her with false bravado. "Me? Shy? I'm not shy at all." I bent to kiss her. The taste of white wine mingled with the taste of mojito. I heard her moan, and that gave me even more courage to start unbuttoning her shirt. She had nothing on underneath. Her boobs were small and perky, a perfect handful. I took another swig of wine and knelt so I could more easily reach. She shuddered as the cold wine touched her now erect nipples. I reached for her other boob and started to run my fingers lightly over her other nipple. "Suck harder," she moaned, and so I obliged. "Bite me," she said. I grazed my teeth against her nipples. "No, bite me harder." "Yes, that's it, don't stop." I alternated between sucking hard and nipping for a while longer, and then transferred my attention to her other boob. My boobs had never been an erogenous zone for me, so I was amazed at Danielle's response. She was running her hands through her hair, and the black of her eyes were rolled back. I started to unbuckle her belt, and that seemed to bring her back to earth. "No, it's that time of the month for me. Just lie down on the bed." I lay down. Danielle knelt over me so that her knees were on either side of my body and stared at me for what felt like ages, but must have been only about 30 seconds. "I know I keep saying this, but you have an amazing body." She pulled me so that I was sitting up on the bed, reached behind me, and unclasped my bra. My A-cup boobs spilled out. She smiled and bent her head to kiss my right nipple, and then my left. "Lie down, baby," she said, whilst continuing to kiss her way down my body. My stomach muscles tightened involuntarily as I lay back on the bed and her tongue dipped into my belly button. I could feel my panties start to get wet and my legs tremble. She continued to kiss past my belly button, hovering over my panties, and then suddenly buried her nose in my coochie. I squealed from the sudden gesture. "You smell so good," she said, whilst hooking her thumbs into the side of my panties, making it easy for her to pull them down. I lifted my bum to make her job easier. And in a moment, she was between my legs, spreading me even wider. "I just want to look at you for a moment," she said. She looked, and I could feel my already engorged clit grow even bigger. "You're ready for me, aren't you?" She held my labia apart and started to play with my clits. I almost jumped off the bed. Easy, baby. She started to trace my clits with the tip of her finger, and I closed my eyes. Open your eyes. I want to see how I make you feel. It feels really good, I responded. She smiled and bent her lips to my clit. I moaned. She licked, sucked, and nibbled. Her fingers seemed to be everywhere. It didn't take long for me to come over and over and over again.
You guys need a minute? Thank you for sharing that, Nana. It was interesting when I saw this piece on the blog, and the comments underneath, of course, were quite lively. And there was one woman who kept saying, you know, this piece is so hot, you know, I'm in the office and I'm just listening, but I'm not lesbian, but this piece is so hot, but I'm not lesbian. And I found that interesting because I think one does not necessarily, and this is a principle that we can apply in many spheres of our lives, one does not necessarily need to be a part of something in order to empathize with it and to appreciate it. Like you pointed out in response, gay men can find lesbian arousing as well. You know, go to a corny wedding where everyone is dressed in matching out, singing John Legend to each other and think, ugh, but still see a friend's happiness and think, wow, that's beautiful. So it's a principle we apply from the mundane to the intimate. When it comes to things like this, to sexuality, then suddenly it's something that people become very guarded about. Now, as the co-founder of Adventures, and maybe even I'd say as the face of Adventures, the blog in itself is kind of queer in the sense that it is women speaking openly and freely about their diverse sexuality. So is this a reaction that you have to come across often, you know, not just online, but in daily life as well, where people appreciate and even identify with something they've read, but want to emphasize that they're, you know, not personally or morally aligned with that? What's the most entertaining experience you've had along those lines?
I think people are always, especially people who have a very rigid idea of their own sexuality and they see their sexuality as very fixed. I think if they read erotica that they felt was not written with them in mind and they respond, they feel uncomfortable, you know. I personally believe that sexuality is more on a spectrum and I don't see sexuality as fixed. So yes, I do get that response, people saying, oh, I read this, it turned me on, does that mean I'm lesbian? I'm like, not necessarily, you know, don't stress, you don't have to worry about coming out to anybody. So yes, but overwhelmingly, the reaction I get to Adventures is very, very positive, but usually it's because people are interacting with me on a one-to-one or online or in my DMs, you know, so generally people feel appreciative of the space that Adventures has created and, you know, the response is we appreciate having the space where we can have conversations in a safe space. So for me, this kind of experience is always interesting, you know, because you're taking the conversation from a safe online space to an offline space and you never know whether it's going to be safe or not. Yeah.
So what Nana Nakoa just shared with us was a fiction piece that she wrote in Adventures, and another reader and contributor who appreciated the piece then wrote it from the other perspective, and that is what Nana Nakoa is going to share with us now.
Hello? Okay, so this is titled Shot It Started on Facebook by Nana Masia. Silly cow. Silly, sexy cow. I didn't even go to a college, but it seemed being friends with some of her friends on Facebook was enough to convince her that I did. She wrote something in reply, which I can't even remember now, and added me. I was in. So from the moment she walked into the bar, I knew, as I'm sure she did, what kind of woman wants to meet up with a fan who has a crush on them? Heck, I ran a mile. But she was always so nice and down to earth, and so she stayed for a drink, would turn into three. And she smiled and answered all my questions like she was really interested in communicating. I could see her nipples through her dress. Screwing my own spit was like eating ground up glass. She asked about my work and I started talking, but I couldn't really hear myself speak. It was as if everything was in slow motion. The crinkle of fabric as she raised the glass to her lips. The way her eyes widened when I got to my curry punchline. Her laughter. I could see the back of her throat pulsating as she laughed. I don't know if the pain in my stomach was from my period alone, but I was willing to bet it wasn't. I clicked my boots three times and made a wish to be horizontal in that second. I promised my youth, my left boob, if I could take off all my clothes and just melt my body to hers, flattening what looked like ample ease under my sleeves. As if in answer to my prayer, she snuggled closer. I raised my eyebrow and leaned in for a kiss. She kissed me back, suckling on my lower lip, and the acid of my desire melted my underwear clean away. In our hotel room, each kiss demolished any defenses I had left until all I wanted to do was just bury my head in her bosom and just weep with gratitude. What? She asked me at some point, eyes already heavy lidded with lust, clit and gorging to bursting. I just want to look at you, I said. My voice sounded like it was coming from behind a wall of cotton wool, but she smiled and ducked her chin, so I knew some of what I said must have made sense. Her nipples were still standing, each one almost as long as my thumb. I suckled on them, drawing them into my mouth and twirling my tongue around them, bathing them with my spit. I dried each one with a little pop of satisfaction as my lips came off and then blew. Her inner thighs quivered in response. She was breathing through her mouth. I just wanted to tell you something, I said. Her eyes lost some of their sleepiness, and she looked at me warily. I have never done this before. You're my first. Really? She started laughing, mouth so wide I could see her uvula shortening. Really, I said. Well, so far, it's top match for me, she said, looking into my eyes. She hooked a hand behind my head and pulled me down for another kiss, using her tongue to ignite passions in dark, moist places. I groaned. What? Stupid period. I started to rub on her clitoris with my finger, like I liked it, like I knew she would. It was instinct. She closed her eyes. Open your eyes, baby. I want to see how you make me feel, how I make you feel. She obeyed, going cross-eyed with feelings I was giving her. My heart struggled to burst out of my chest, both from endearments which had slipped unbidden from my lips and from her little intakes of breath, which told me I was doing something right. I bent my head to her southern lips and inhaled. I almost passed out. She smelled of warmth and age-old female secrets and chicken. You smell of chicken, I said. She choked on a moan and started to laugh. I cut off the sound, latching onto her clit and sucking as if my life depending on it, and away it did. I wanted her never to forget me. I wanted to be so imprinted in her psyche that I made it into her next book. I wanted to be immortalized. After all, I wasn't lying when I said I was a fan. Her thighs thrashed about my head, almost suffocating me, and I slipped her a finger, shocking her into letting up. Oh, she held her breath. That was easy, I said, slipping in two more. I could see the veins bulging in her neck as she fought to keep the tide down, fucking herself on my fingers, the squelching, the moaning, the smack smack of her breasts, which she held in her hands to stop them from falling into her armpits. Oh, I was losing it. I resumed eating at her with vigor, getting her juices on my nose, all over my chin and my fringe, which smeared a silvery thread of moisture into my eyebrow. I felt like a beast. I was a beast. A beast of sensation, sensationally beastly. Every nerve felt exposed, so that I was sick to my stomach even as my body tingled with joy. I pushed my tongue deeper into her crevice, feeling rub like it was a living thing with a mind of its own. She didn't even need to tell me she was coming. Her walls rippled along the length of my tongue as if to squeeze every last drop of pleasure out of it. I was nose and chin deep into her pussy. It was as if we were one person. She shuddered, swallowing her own orgasm and inward screams. I kept at it, slapping at her clit with my tongue until she pushed me away. She fell asleep almost immediately, smiling, the silly cow. I watched the rise and fall of her chest, the indent of her waist, her any belly button, her sweet, sweet ass. I stayed that way for a while. Then I got up and had a shower, changing my tampon, which came away gooey with repressed lust, with a sense of aborted climaxes. Clutching the cool bottle of wine, I ran my hand over her flanks, feeling my breath quicken when her nipples hardened in response. She opened one eye. "Hi," she said. "Hi," I replied. "Ready for round two?" I took a swig of the wine and held it to my mouth before lapping at her nipple with a cold tongue. "Yes, please," she replied, popping her other nipple into her own mouth, twining her legs with mine. The friction of her pubic hair against mine made me shiver. She noticed and did it again, claiming my mouth. Damn. "God, I've been waiting for so long," I said, looking into her eyes. She laughed and swatted my bottom, pulling me down to kiss me over and over. She thought it started on Facebook. She had no idea.
Wow. I can definitely see how you are a radio personality. I think that Reading Voice deserves an award. And since you are, in fact, a public personality, have you ever sent or received any fan?